This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, days, decades, and eternity. We are this year within a theme of follow me. And we are particularly on a series right now of how to deal with trouble as we learn to follow Jesus. Now, I would be negligent as your pastor if I didn't warn you that the trouble we are facing will last many decades, well, days, and that the trouble we'll be dealing with will last for a decade or more. But we are really having to face up to our humanity these days, aren't we? There is a palpable sense of loss. Some have lost their freedom, others are bereaved, and some of this we'll get back, but much we won't. And at times like this, the question that many people are asking is, where is God in this? I believe he is in these days, and that he will be in the decades ahead, and that he encompasses eternity. He's in these days, he will be in the decades ahead, and he encompasses eternity. I'd like us to turn to an ancient scripture handed down to us from thousands of years ago. Ecclesiastes, if you go to your Bible and you go pretty much in the middle, you should find Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it's a famous one. In Ecclesiastes, the preacher is the main speaker and he examines the grimness of the days and decades of life. And yet he also gives us and provides us with a beautiful eternal perspective. So it's Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 11. Would you, if you can, wherever you are, would you like to stand with me as I read the scripture? There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time, this is apt, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the business God has given the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and he has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. This is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. Please do sit down if you're standing up. It's a beautiful passage, isn't it? And it's so true. Intuitively, it rings true. The writer is talking about seasons and purposes, and it's not strictly chronological. It's not a point in time. It's more like the seasons of the year. It's more circular. Although a good metaphor would be the caterpillar. The caterpillar lives in its present, unaware of what is to come. I wonder how it would feel about moving from this season of existence into a chrysalis and then to become a butterfly. If you were to look inside a chrysalis, you wouldn't see sort of like a mini caterpillar growing wings and turning into a butterfly. You'd just see some green primordial mush. The caterpillar has ended and out of the juice emerges a butterfly, and the butterfly is awesome and miraculous, and there's some spark of life that was put there by God that turns that green stuff into beauty. Different seasons. A chrysalis has no conception of anything with legs of a caterpillar or with the wings of a butterfly. And for us, these seasons are times when something becomes characteristic of our lives for a while. It could be a time, a short time of sickness, say, or a short time of going on holiday, the joy of that. It could be longer seasons, maybe when you're in education, or maybe you go through a season in life when you're living in poverty. Right now, we are all in a grim season. And the thing is that our human tendency is to get stuck in the time that is now, the present. We lose perspective of what is to come. We tend to think in terms of days. Right now, we check in, don't we, on the news. We look at our machines or we get on the TV and for every day for the grim roll call of numbers. You know, the newscaster says today has been the worst so far. And our world begins to descend into days. We do this in good times and in bad times. And even if we stand back and look at the longer picture, we might only expand our days to decades. The preacher in Ecclesiastes takes our days and our decades, and he raises our hopes and expectations for a beautiful eternity. There's an overwhelming sense that there is someone who is greater than all of this, bigger than birth and death that we see in verse 2, bigger than war and peace that we see in verse 8, and everything in between. Look at the next couple of verses, 9 and 10. The NIV translation many of us use isn't particularly good here. The ESV says, "What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of man to be busy with." It's a strange sentence structure, but the meaning is correct. The busyness, God has given us this business, all of this. This, our whole experience of life is given and overseen by God. He is transcendent, standing outside of our days and decades, above and beyond COVID-19 and any virus, and he has a cosmic mission to save us for eternity. Rabbi Sacks said it recently, "If this teaches us nothing else, it makes us face up to our humanity. We're not masters of our destiny. It's palpably obvious we need help. We are stuck in our days and decades. A caterpillar can't imagine becoming a butterfly and certainly doesn't vote to become juice." So God is overall. He's not distant, though. He doesn't leave us in mush. Verse 11 says he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. God chooses to allocate beauty and place eternity in our hearts. It is beyond our natural understanding. It is way, way, way beyond our days and decades, but it is there in us. So this tells us that God is not only transcendent and over all things, he also chooses to be, the long word is immanent. He lives among us in our hearts. We see this most clearly in the life of Jesus, don't we? Son of God, and yet he took on the frailties and agonies of human life and death. Archbishop Welby, when asked, "Where is God?" said, "God is with us." I don't know how you are. Are you weeping? Are you carrying pain and grief? Or are you full of questions and uncertainty? So I invite you to call out to him. He has given us this business, but he has also placed his eternity in our hearts. He has the whole world in his hands, but he's also right with you. Just invite him in. Out of the chrysalis comes the butterfly. Out of coronavirus will come beauty and eternity. God's church may be temporarily physically distanced, but in this season, we will be renewed and prepared for revival. If you don't know Jesus, can I invite you to turn to him in these testing days? It'll be the best decision you'll ever make. Because when you become a Christian and you turn from your old life and you choose to follow Jesus, when you invite the Holy Spirit into your heart, everything changes. Your perspective opens up and you can know hope beyond the fear, expectation beyond the grief. Your perspective moves from days and decades into eternity. In John, we're told that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in us is greater than all the enemy's evils. Oh, he's greater than COVID-19 and indeed any virus. Our God is greater than sickness and death. He is greater than the days and decades of life itself. For he has placed eternity in our hearts. There is a time to weep, but there will be a time to laugh. There is a time to mourn, but there will be a time to dance. There is a time to distance, but there will be a time to hug. There is a time for war, but there will be a time for peace. We are living in the days and decades, but our sovereign God deals in eternity. May this be a time when we can be with Jesus. We can become like him, when we can know him in our days, renewing us day by day. May this be a time when we can reach out beyond our isolation and love our neighbors. May this be a time when we get on our knees and cry out to our God to revive his church and redeem his creation. Amen. I'd like to turn to a title prayer ministry now. I'll just invite Alison back into the room. Now, just check on what has been going on. So I'm just reading some of the things that have come in that you've been sending in, which is great, and we'll pray into those. I want to start by praying for those of you who don't know Jesus or who have not who maybe feel a bit distant from him and you just want to invite him into your life in these days and decades. So I'm just going to pray a prayer which you can pray along with me wherever you are, whatever situation you are. Lord Jesus, I'm so aware of being dragged into my days and decades, and I'm aware of the stuff that just bogs me down and gets between me and you, between that wonderful picture of eternity in my heart. And I'm sorry for allowing those things to come between you and me. I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. I'm sorry for the things I have thought that I shouldn't have thought and said and done. And as best I can, I want to turn towards you and ask for your forgiveness and for you to set me on a new life. Lord, I want you to give me a new perspective. So I repent. I receive your forgiveness. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. May I be fully more and more aware of your eternity, you in my heart. Amen. I'd like to pray for you if you're feeling anxious at this moment, if you're feeling alone. Some of you are very alone, but some of you feel alone and you're with other people. I want to pray for you. Alice and I will pray for you. And we'll ask the Holy Spirit to come where you are and to for you to know his peace more and more. So just, you know, when we say, you know, adopt the position, be in a receiving mode if you possibly can, wherever you are. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to come right now, particularly to those who have anxiety or need peace or who are lonely and feel lost and alone. Holy Spirit, come right now. Calm beating hearts, quiet the noise. Do your amazing, miraculous thing in our hearts as you put eternity. Bring your peace, we pray.